Jones Sports Network.
Hello and welcome to the obligatory Keystone Crossover Show. I'm Jim Galante along with my good buddy Chris Buchanani. This is a combination of the obligatory Penn State podcast and the Keystone Sports Network, where Chris and I find a Penn State or college football topic that we're interested in that we want to share with you guys, our listeners. And let's face it again, more Penn State football talk. It's always a good thing, isn't it, Chris?
Sure is, Jim. Good to be back with you.
I'll tell you what, I like full disclosure. We messed up our weeks a little bit. Last week, we had you coming up with the topic. Guess what we did this week? You came up with the topic again. So the world is just going to have to live with that, Chris. But
to quote the great Bill Murray as Dr. Peter Venkman, it's really more of a guideline.
There you go. Hey, it's our podcast. We could do whatever we want, right?
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Well, I tell you why I'm so interested in your topic is I haven't been watching a lot of the NFL this week or this year. But this past weekend, I really sat down and enjoyed it. I really did. And it was interesting, specifically in Buffalo, how often they mentioned Ryan Bates' name. I mean, you don't hear a left guard being mentioned that often.
Go
figure. The topic that you want to talk about is just how prevalent these Penn State players are in the NFL. And Ryan Bates is just one example of the guys who are going to be part of this playoff picture.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll talk a little bit more about Bates in a moment. But just generally speaking, Jim, whatever folks are listening to this, if you're any kind of a pro football fan, you know that we just got out of what, to me, I thought was an extremely entertaining wildcard weekend. Now, there are always blowouts that are part of these wildcard games because you have the cream of the crop facing off against the teams that got in by the skin of their teeth. But there were some really entertaining games. I thought even for varying reasons, some of the blowouts were fun to watch. I mean, if you're a Patriots hater or somebody who sympathizes with the underdog, watching the Bills absolutely smoke them in freezing cold temps in front of a college-like crowd atmosphere. Like, again, unless you're like a Dolphins or a Jets fan, it's hard to find, too much wrong with that, right? So a really entertaining weekend. And as you noted, one of the things you just couldn't get away from was how many Nittany Lions were cropping up. Throughout all the games you're watching, I just thought we ought not let it pass the number of Penn Staters who have gone on and had a lot of success in the league of late. And so I took a look at it. Thanks to the folks at Our Lads, I was able to get an up-to-date list of all the Penn State alumni currently in the NFL. And so it's 39 players total, 31 active, 8 on reserve, and 1 on a practice squad. And that 31, Jim, actually ties them for 10th most of any school in terms of active NFL alumni with Oklahoma. And the other 9 schools in front of us, it's a who's who of the best programs in the country over the last several years. Bama, Ohio State, LSU, Georgia, Notre Dame, rounding out the top 5. So a lot of Nittany Lions going on and having success in the pros, and that was reflected in wildcard weekend where Penn State was very well represented. So there was at least one Penn State player on 9 of the 12 participant rosters, including all of the 6 teams in the NFC. And so there's a total of 16 players on the payroll, 14 on active rosters, and the Chiefs, Bengals, and Patriots were the only teams without a Penn State player. I'll run through them for you real quickly, and then we can comment on a couple of these guys. For the Buffalo Bills, as you mentioned, Ryan Bates, Las Vegas Raiders, Carl Nassib, and Nick Bowers, a great story. Injured a lot in his Penn State career, hung on, and now in his second year on a pro roster. The Steelers fans will know, of course, Pat Freiermuth had a great rookie season for them, and Marcus Allen has also carved out a nice spot as kind of a hybrid linebacker there. The Buccaneers, Donovan Smith, they're highly paid starting left tackle, and Chris Godwin, we're all rooting for him to come back from the injury. He's on IR. The Rams last night, as we're recording, had a great win. Nick Scott and Grant Haley, two heroes of the 2016-2017 secondary there. Dallas, of course, Micah Parsons in the running for Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and Connor McGovern. 49ers had the ageless one, the great Robbie Gould, as well as Kevin Givens. The Cardinals, Trace McSorley traded there from Baltimore midseason. And Jack Crawford, a name I bet a lot of Penn State fans may not even remember. God bless this guy, the defensive end from England, who has just hung on in the NFL for a decade now. But he's on IR for Arizona. I'm thinking maybe that's going to be the last stop for him. But if it is, man, what a great career for him. And of course, rounding out the list, my Philadelphia Eagles, who, you know, valiantly hung in there for about 2 minutes versus the Buccaneers, and Miles Sanders on the roster for them. Also, the Titans and the Packers, who were first round byes, they both have a Penn Stater on the payroll. Sam Ficken on IR for the Titans, and Adrian Amos on the roster for Green Bay, along with Michael Mennett on the practice squad. And so there's a lion on every NFC roster, meaning we're guaranteed to have yet another Super Bowl where Penn State is represented by at least one player. And there is the, you know, whatever slim segment of our audience that is engulfed in the echo chamber of Twitter. You all know the in-joke there about the meme Penn State put in, which was, I guess, like a cell phone. To this day, I don't know whether it was intentional or not, where they put out the picture that said there's been a Penn Stater in every Super Bowl in huge letters and then in really tiny letters underneath, except the three where there wasn't, or whatever it was. But the every Super Bowl, the big, the large size font is going to be for sure represented this year. So good stuff, man. Like, I would love to talk about a couple of these players. I'd love to talk about what it means for the program to have players in the NFL. But I root for every single one of our guys who has a chance to go pursue their dreams in the league, even like slightly and begrudgingly the ones who end up on the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, that I'm in the same boat with you. I was just going to say, I will root for Micah Parsons as much as I am rooting so hard for the Cowboys to lose. And candidly, Chris, I'm still smiling with how the Cowboys chose to lose their game. And I
phenomenal
chose. Because of that play call at the end. And I have a very good friend, by the way, the voice of the introduction of our show. He's a gentleman by the name of Bob Waters. I don't think you'll mind me saying this. He is perhaps one of the biggest Cowboy fans in the world. He called me the day after just to complain about that call. So, but you're right. Some of these names are they're really interesting. There's the obvious ones who are the stars, you know, Micah Parsons, Miles Sanders, a big name. But what's impressive is how many of these guys who weren't necessarily superstars in college, but are making their a name for themselves in the NFL, Chris. So which are the guys that you wanted to highlight?
Well, first of all, let's just talk about the fact that there are 14 guys on rosters, many of whom were key contributors. But to me, the interesting point is I'm going to look down here and I'm going to tick off the names. Ryan Bates, Nick Bowers, Grant Haley, Robbie Gould, and Kevin Givens. Five of the 14 were undrafted free agents. Penn State has had a lot of success. Near and dear to my heart, my good buddy Brandon Noble paving the way as another undrafted free agent who went on to a long, successful career in the NFL. You know, I always wonder about these unheralded recruits who succeed in college and the undrafted free agents who succeed in the NFL. And I wonder, you know, how great is our talent scouting that you have so many guys who are considered not worthy of a draft pick who go on and have really successful careers, contribute to NFL teams for a long time. So credit to all of those guys. And Bates, man, I mentioned Connor McGovern on the Cowboys. It's debatable, perhaps, but I think McGovern had probably the better overall career at Penn State. But there's no doubt that Bates, who's had to fight and claw his way, you know, by way of a training camp trade from Philadelphia to Buffalo, he's managed to you know, fight for everything he's gotten. And when Buffalo had an injury, he has stepped in admirably and has done a really, really good job. You know, first making the cut for the 53-man last year and now working himself into a key part of the two deep.
That is, it is very impressive when you have a guy like that. Our colleague Ross Tucker is another example of a guy who had to fight and claw coming from an Ivy League school to even, you know, get an opportunity in the NFL, managed to stay in the league for 8 years. And I've talked to him about it, and he talks about, you know, you work hard, you play smart, you don't make mistakes, and when you get your opportunity, be ready for it. That mm-hmm. seems to be the case for Ryan Bates, and probably the same narrative you could use for all of these undrafted free agents.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, Ross would agree. I know from talking to Brandon that there's the one upside of being an undrafted free agent is that once you get down into the sixth and seventh round, in some cases you're almost better to go undrafted because those late round picks are the most expendable when it comes to cutdowns. So as a free agent, you can look for a roster situation that best suits what you do and maybe find a team where you're going to have a better chance to find your niche. Certainly that was a deal where Bates was able to catch on in Philly and showed the coaches something that they were able to get a little something by shipping him up to Buffalo, who needed offensive line help. And then, you know, he took it from there. Now, of course, the downside is that if you're not a draft pick, nobody's job credibility is on the line for your having been on the roster. And in fact, you are probably taking the job of somebody who at some point someone in the front office campaigned hard for. So they're always looking for every excuse to get rid of you and replace you. So again, congrats to all of these guys. I mean, I have really come to appreciate even more talking to Brandon and some of the other Penn State players who played in the NFL, just how unbelievably difficult it is to get to the league and stay there. So credit to all of them. But the ones who take that toughest route, I will always have the utmost respect for. Really cool.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about is when you see these players, and it's the undrafted guys who weren't necessarily all that impressive at the college level. We didn't picture them making it in the NFL. Maybe Nick Scott, Grant Haley fit the bill as defensive backs. But the offensive linemen, you know, Ryan Bates, we probably didn't think of him as an NFL player. I believe we all thought Donovan Smith, he underperformed. And it makes me wonder if, as we now look at the offensive line the last couple of years and are disappointed, is Rasheed Walker the next Donovan Smith, perhaps?
Look, if I have learned anything, Jim, from the last few years, it's that Rasheed Walker and Brandon Smith are both going to be Pro Bowlers the minute they hit the NFL.
But it's fascinating to me. But I, you know, the offensive line that we are disappointed in, you know, the totality of the group, and then some of these individuals end up, you know, excelling at the next level. And also what's fascinating to me is the defensive backs who maybe coming out of Penn State, you know, I'll use Nick Scott, Grant Haley as examples. When they were at Penn State, you did not think of those at NFL as NFL players, did you?
I thought both of them were marginal. I thought if Grant Haley could get into a camp, he was going to have the capacity to stick around in the way that he has. And he definitely has battled to stay in the league, but he's, you know, he's hung around. And, you know, you get that 3 years, you get vested. I mean, good for him, man. He's made himself a lot of money. Nick Scott, same deal. Like, I love that kid. Super versatile, hard worker, excellent leader. And you could tell he had the skill set that would allow him to excel on special teams, which is a good way to hang around in the bottom third of an NFL roster. You can be a depth guy who can contribute on a couple of special teams units. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like I thought they were going to be superstars, but I thought they both had a path to success in the pros. And then, you know, obviously Adrian Amos has been one of the best safeties in the NFL for several years. And, you know, you just bring it up the defensive backs. It's got me thinking about Jordan Lucas, won a Super Bowl ring with Kansas City a couple years ago. Amani Oruwariye had a tremendous season in Detroit. I snubbed by the Pro Bowl, in my opinion, I think largely because he plays for the Lions, so probably got overlooked because the win-loss record wasn't there. But really, really productive. And, you know, quietly, Penn State has done a really good job these last several years. Marcus Allen's a linebacker in Pittsburgh, but we've sent a lot of defensive backs up to the next level. Troy Apke's still hanging around on the Washington football team. Or Commanders, or Admirals, or Red Hogs, or whatever the hell they're called, if you're not listening to this right when it drops.
Washington football team. The DBs, I think, have impressed and excelled beyond expectation. You mentioned Adrian Amos, who was one of my favorite players back in the day. But also now we're going to see some more of these DBs making it to the NFL. Obvious one is Brisker. Yep. I think Jair Brown is just another year away.
Agreed.
I know some people got on Joey Porter being a little handsy, but Joey Porter's going to be an NFL player.
Oh, yeah.
So you've
got some
more. And, you know, Kalen King seems to be on that same path.
Yep. John Reed, another guy I didn't mention earlier on the Seattle Seahawks. Maybe hanging on by a thread. But again, it's tough. It's tough to hang in the league. So just to get there is an accomplishment. And, you know, look, all these names, there are some big names here, guys who really are stars on their teams. Freiermuth, Godwin, Sanders, those are names that are going to get a lot of attention, right? And then, of course, you've got Micah Parsons on the defensive side, Saquon Barkley on the offensive side. The other good news for Penn State fans in all of this, beyond just I think that we're all rooting for our Lions to do well at the next level, is that this is great free advertising for the caliber of program James Franklin's running here in Happy Valley and the ability to develop and prepare talent to go on to the next level. So even though none of us is thrilled with the win-loss record the last couple of years, recruiting's a lifeblood. And being able to show a track record of getting guys to the league is extraordinarily helpful in staying up there in the upper echelons. So it's good for them and it's good for fans in terms of what it means for the future of Penn State's football program.
It really is, Chris. And I'll tell you what, for you and I, our Eagles are out of it, but you could look for your favorite former Penn State player on some of these NFL rosters and you can root for them.
Yeah, real quick, Jim, I will tell you, I'm going to make a real early prediction. Real early prediction. If Philadelphia does not package a few of those picks to try to make some kind of a move at the quarterback position, which it's too early to say, but I think is definitely in the mix. If they stand pat and decide to take three great players in the first round, do not be surprised if Jaquan Brisker is one of those three. I think that's a great hand-in-glove fit. They're going to be able to get great intel on him. He would be a tremendous compliment to the talent they've already got on what is, I think, you know, a young, promising team. So I managed to match up Dafe Owe and the Ravens last year. I'm thinking maybe I can speak into existence Jaquan Brisker in Midnight Green.
You know what? Owe, you're right, was a phenomenal fit with Baltimore. Same here. They need help there. Brisker would be a great fit. And again, that's the part I really like. If a player who's one of my favorite players at Penn State goes to my favorite team, I would have been over the moon if Micah Parsons got picked by the Eagles, but I'll take Brisker going there, just like Miles Sanders going there. Makes it a lot of fun to keep rooting for that player. All right, now that is it for the show. Thanks, Chris. It's a great topic, a fun topic to talk about. And thank you all for listening. And be sure you join us next week on the obligatory Keystone Crossover Show.
Keystone Sports Network.